May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, as I read this passage over and over again, the main picture, the clear picture that was really and that's still before me, even as Jim was reading this passage, was seeing my mom when I was 7. Dramatize this. They had what is still called Women's Guild Service. So they had a drama in the course of the service. And my mom was Neman. So, and I still remember my mom resisting to go and bathe in the river and how she was persuaded to do so. And I still remember how she tried the first time and she was like, I'm still leprous. And then she tried again until the 7th time. I don't know what they did, but it all got cleared up. And that's the picture I still see. But it was quite moving and something that has stayed with me over the years. Voice of grace and compassion. Like a warm breeze on a summer morning, we hear a voice of grace and compassion ringing across more than 3,000 years in our reading from 2 Kings. The voice doesn't belong to a grown-up man or to a woman. It is the voice of a young lassie, a young girl, whose name we do not know. There's no mention of her name. We don't know her name. And it is not even clear from Scripture how old she was. The young lassie was carried off to their enemy's territory and served the wife of Naaman, commander of the armies of Ben-Hadad II. Naaman, it turns out, is a leper. And we read about the profile of Naaman. Through him, God gave victory to their land. He was so powerful. He was killed in battle, but he was a leper. This young lassie, this young girl, could have rejoiced in the suffering of Naaman. It would have been an expected reaction to one held against her will. She was held against her will, so she would have rejoiced and said, all right, I'm glad you are leprous. Yet even in the midst of deep grief, over never seeing her family again, she retains her faith and shows the path of healing. And I thought this is really powerful. To be in a place where you should actually be a recipient of healing. And the healing is not quite coming to you, and you don't even know if you ever see your family again. And yet, in that situation, this young girl is an agent of healing. I cannot overemphasize this point because that's really very powerful, and I hope it registers something in your mind. Moved by compassion, this young lassie says to Naaman's wife, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he will cure him of his leprosy. And once Naaman hears this, he travels to Samaria to find the prophet Elisha. But Naaman, being a corporate leader, makes the process much too complicated, so he goes to the king and asks for a letter of introduction. And he goes straight to the king in Samaria to say, look, this is my servant. I want to cure him of his ailment. Instead of reporting to Elisha, he goes to the king. And then when he arrives at the king's palace, the king is raged. The king tears his robe and says, look, am I God that I will heal you? And then the king thought that this could be a scheme. This man is coming to set up a war against me and the king of Assyria. But Elisha hears the cry of the king and then sends for Naaman. And when Naaman now went to Elisha's place with all the chariots, with all the gifts, with all the horses, Elisha did not come out. Perhaps, I don't know why he didn't come out, but perhaps it is for a lesson. Maybe a lesson for him and a lesson for us today. So he says to a messenger, tell Naaman to go to Jordan River and bathe 7 times. So that comment really makes Naaman even more frustrated. Naaman is downright offended by the simplicity of Elisha's prescription for curing his leprosy. I thought he would surely come out to me, knowing who I am, and stand before me and call on the name of his God and wave his hands over the place. And then I'll receive my healing. Naaman cannot believe that a simple word from Elisha, especially through a messenger, will lead to a healing. But as the prophet knows, it is God who heals, not him. And it is God who heals, so we cannot underestimate the extent to which God heals. Although Naaman initially resisted going to bed, he finally went to do so. And he's healed. And he comes to believe in God. This unnamed servant girl had no worldly power. He had no power in her disposition. She was not powerful. But she lived by her faith, even in hardship. And as such, across the centuries, she has been a mighty evangelist, leading many, even the powerful, even her enemies, to God. Perhaps we need to think a little bit about the grace of God upon our lives. Perhaps we sometimes underestimate the grace of God that is at work in our lives. We sometimes underestimate the power of kind words, the power of kindness. We sometimes underestimate the power of love. It is said that kindness is the word that even a blind will see. We sometimes underestimate that. And perhaps we offer ourselves excuses why we should not be as nice as we should to others. Perhaps considering our own personal predicaments, our challenges and situations. But that was not the case with this unnamed servant girl. Even in hardship, she was able to live out her faith. And today, we are reading about her. Again, through our gospel reading, we read about a short, powerful story of a leper coming to Jesus and making an unusual statement. The leper says to Jesus, if you want to, you can make me clean. The term leprosy is used in scripture to describe a number of skin conditions. But one thing unites all of these conditions. They rendered a person ritually unclean. And as long as that person was afflicted, it put him or her outside the bounds of family, of friends, of employment, outside the bounds of society and the temple worship. So the person was put out of everything that matters. To be a leper was to be an outcast, to be literally untouchable, for fear of transmitting both the disease and the ritual uncleanness. You read about the Dalits in India, and in some parts of southeastern Nigeria, before now, we read about the Osus, who were often considered to be untouchable. And so people would not touch them because there was this fear they would transmit the disease or transmit the ritual uncleanness. And whenever lepers went, whenever they went anywhere, they had to announce their presence by crying out, unclean, unclean. Indeed, we cannot exaggerate this situation enough. It was really bad. It was horrible. Worst of all, people equated leprosy with punishment for sin, which also led to a lot of bad blood towards lepers. I'm sure you are familiar with this attitude that says, you are getting what you really deserve. This particular leper obviously knew Jesus to be a healer, but beyond his request for healing from his leprosy, he's asking for restoration to community, to family, to friends, to the worshiping community. And through a simple touch, the man is healed of his leprosy. And here, this touch is not just like a simple touch. The Greek word behind touch really means so much more than it. It means he fastened himself to him. He clung to him. So Jesus doesn't just give this man a little brush with his hand, you know, maybe from a distance, but he embraces. He embraces him, and his place in the community is established. His place in the family and within the religious life of God's people is reestablished. Jesus touches the leper. This not only reverses the no-touch rule. Nobody touches the leper, but here Jesus reverses it. In the case of Jesus touching, it is not the leper who is contagious, but Jesus. So here, the leper doesn't transmit his uncleanness to Jesus. Instead, Jesus transmits, through his compassionate touch, his wholeness and healing to the leper and makes him clean. So it was the other way around. Jesus changes this whole rule. It was countercultural. It wasn't just the healing. It was about the countercultural experience that Jesus showed to the people. That we can love the unloved. We can touch the untouched. We can be there for people that are lonely. People who are not counted for in any way. We can walk side by side with people, accompany people in their journey, even when families, neighbors, are not ready to walk by their side. Jesus is making a clear statement here to say everybody matters. People matter, no matter who they are. Even those who are on the fringe of society, those who are not counted to belong, they really matter in my kingdom. And that's the message that Jesus is leaving for us today. Jesus is inviting us to walk with those people that are lonely, to look out for people in congregations, in our congregation, in our community, those that need our support, those that need love. Of course, Jesus gives this man a command, which was an odd one. He said he should not speak about this. For you can't really receive love. You can't receive that kind of divine touch. You've never been touched for many, many years, or perhaps for all your life. And someone not only touches you, but embraces you, and you'll keep quiet. So he goes on to speak about the healing of Jesus. The healing of God does not end with our quietly rejoicing in it. It continues with our testimony, with our witness to the community, that whatever our conditions, Jesus is in it with us. We may not be able to cure or perform miracles like Jesus, but each one of us is given the opportunity to use God's love to touch others in ways that bring comfort and healing.